Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. I want to read you a verse out of Deuteronomy 28. I'm going to get on with this one today. I pulled this verse after. I felt like I got this verse after the message almost. But it says, "And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above and not beneath, if you will heed to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I have commanded you this day, and be careful to observe them." In our language, I guess it would be, I'll make you the head and not the tail. I'll make you rise above and not stay beneath, if you'll only hearken to my voice, to what I'm telling you, to what I'm trying to put in you, and obey what I tell you to do, you'll rise above. I'm going to talk to you this morning. I'm going to talk to you, and I always do, but this I just feel a special unction this morning. I want to talk to you this morning with a pastor's heart. Okay, because a pastor, God puts a love in a pastor's heart for his people, and it really doesn't matter what they do, or even if they get ugly, or even if they do strange things, or whatever, that love never leaves, it's there. And I believe God wants you to rise above, and that's what I'm believing for you. I'll just start off by saying this. Is the sound okay to you? Okay, I can't tell up here, but if it's okay to you, it's okay with me. Okay? There's no setbacks. There's no decisions that you've made. There's no circumstances that you've encountered. There's not any disappointments that disqualify you from having God's best in your life. Now, you need to let that get down in your spirit, because we've got a lot of things in our heart, in our spirit, that don't need to be there. But that's what we've been doing for months now. And since today's Valentine's Day, the symbol of Valentine's Day is the heart. And so I believe God's going to not only touch your heart, but He's going to help you change your heart. Okay? So you need to get that down in your spirit. God loves you, but He also likes you. Huh? Yeah, everybody say, "Well, I don't like them. I love them, but I don't like them." Well, that I don't know if those two go together. I think you still got something in your heart, or I do, when we say that. But He loves you, but He likes you too. And you need to get down in your spirit above anything else. God created you to rise above. You need to rise above your circumstances. You need to rise above whatever challenges you're facing right now. You need to rise above those things, and He'll help you do it if you decide to. According to what Jesus said in John 10:10, He said that God created us to live abundant life. Everybody say that, abundant life. Okay, everybody say, "I was created." Are we going to not get any further than this? Everybody say, "I was created to live abundant life." Now, why are you making me say that, Hank? Well, because you've been saying other stuff all week long. And it's time to start agreeing with God what He says, and speak His word back to Him, because it won't come back to Him void. He is the God of increase. He has good things for you. He wants you to live abundant life. Matter of fact, in Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 6 and 7, he says that he has raised us up together. Did you hear that? He's raised us up, not put us down. He's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that in the ages to come, that's now. When Paul wrote this, that's now. We're in the ages to come. So in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. In the third chapter, he says in verse 20, he says, now to him who is able, God, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above everything that we ask or think, according to that power that works in us. God wants you to be blessed. He's a God of increase. He has good things for your future. He wants to take you higher than you've ever been before. He wants to do things in your life that you've never even dreamed he could do. He wants to fill your life with his wonderful blessings. You say, well, I don't know if I believe that. I know that's what you're getting. I'm trying to get you to get the other. I just don't believe that's for me. That's why you don't have it, because you don't believe it. But when you believe, you serve a God that loves you so much that he cares about every little detail of your life, then something different begins to happen inside. You'll even be in the store and somebody will buy your groceries, won't they? Your blessings will come to you that you never even dreamed possible. You'll even be in the store and God will use you to buy somebody else's groceries. He has wonderful things lined up for you. He has increased favor for you. He has bigger dreams. You haven't even dreamt dreams big enough to make him happy. He is pleased when you dream big and think big and go after those things in your life. He wants to give you more influence. He wants to give you new opportunities. He wants to give you abundant provision so that you can be effective in everything that you do. I was reading about and we all know this, but when a child is born and the DNA from the parents go into that child, half goes from the mother and half goes from the father, but the DNA from that parents goes into the child. And listen, when you are reborn, the DNA from God himself goes inside of you. Hold your arm up and look at your veins and go, there's royal blood flowing through those veins. You belong to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We often let the disappointments that we go through and the disappointments of our past and the difficulties of our presence, we often let those things, we mistakenly think that those things disqualify us from God's goodness. But that's a lie. That there nothing could be further from the truth than that. Matter of fact, if you read Colossians 1, 9 through 14, he's talking about that because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. And in verse 12 he says, and giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. Whew. He has qualified us to be partakers. Is that what that says? Yeah, partakers of the inheritance of the saints in Christ Jesus. He's qualified you. So the next time you're thinking down on yourself and you're thinking bad about yourself, just go, yeah, that's okay, but he qualified me. I might not qualify, but I do now because he qualified me. Maybe things didn't work out like you hoped. Maybe you've missed an opportunity. Maybe somebody didn't keep their promise to you. Maybe your spouse left. Maybe your business experienced some financial difficulties. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe. But setbacks become like an anchor if we let them, and they just hold us in place. And we can't get any further. But after today, something's going to be different in your life. You're going to be moving forward. You're going to be trying again. And you're going to be trying harder. And you're going to be trusting more. And you're going to be believing God more. And you're going to raise above, far above. You're going to raise to new heights in your life. You're going to soar like the eagles with the Lord. And that's my prayer for you. The key to this is just overcome. The key to this rising higher is you just got to overcome. The key to overcoming is just rise above it. You're the only one that can do that. Just change your mind and rise above it. You've got to let those things of the past go. We've heard a lot about that lately. But you got to let all the things that didn't work, you got to let them go. We know Philippians 3, what that says. Paul said, he said, I forget those things in my past. And he said, I look forward to what lies ahead. And what lies ahead for you and what lies ahead for me, what lies ahead for this church is good things. It's powerful things. It's things that are moved by the Holy Spirit. It's lives that are touched. It's lives that are saved. Big things he's got in store for you. You may have had an unfair past, but you don't have to have an unfair future. You may have had a rough start, but remember something, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And I'm just saying, don't give up. You can't do anything about yesterday, but you can build a better tomorrow. And every one of us have things in our past we wish weren't there, but they are. So just quit looking back at them. You won't forget them. Keep using them as instruction. Keep using them as warning signs. Keep using them and keep them back there as things that didn't work. But just keep on moving forward. Just keep on going. Don't let yourself get stuck. We just get stuck. I heard that phrase at Saturday night live last night. We get stuck. We get a mentality embedded, ingrained into us. Sometimes it's a poverty mentality, and we just think we're poor, we're defeated, we'll never have enough. This is just my lot in life. Nobody in my family's ever had anything, and I don't have anything, and a poverty mentality or a victim mentality. You ever see anybody with a victim mentality? Everybody's out to do them wrong. Everybody's done them wrong. Everything I do fails. Every time, if anything bad's going to happen, it's going to happen to me. A victim's mentality. And many of us stay victims all of our life instead of rising above and living that victorious life that God has for us and wants us to. Sometimes we get locked into a sickness mentality. And this happens to all of us. I'm not sitting here talking to you like I think something's wrong with you. I'm saying this stuff happens to all of us. The doctor tells us something, we hurt here, we hurt there, we have this pain, and trust me, some of you young folks are kind of laughing, but the older you get, the more places hurt. I mean, I got places hurting that I didn't even know I had. And if you're not careful, you get into the sickness mentality, and it's ingrained in you, and it becomes roots in you. And all you can talk about is how bad you feel. And everybody you get around, that's all they talk about is how bad they feel. And you ever get around three or four people and everybody's telling everybody what they take. Well, I take this for this and I take that for that. I told a lady what the other day, you were healed, and she got mad at me. She said, no, I've got this. And I said, yeah, you sure do. It gets embedded in us. Our attitudes. Our attitudes are important. Do you see the glass half empty, or do you see it half full? See, we just have a little attitude check real quick. You see, the truth is how we view life will pretty much determine our degree of success. See, we either focus on we either focus on the obstacles or we focus on the possibilities. Yes, it looks like this, but God. Heard that one this week, but God. We know what it is from that corner over there, don't we? But God. God said you got cancer, yeah, but. Or the doctor said you got cancer, yeah, but God. The devil said you're going to lose everything, yeah, yeah, but God. You just have forgotten the God factor in this thing. You can read the story. I won't read it now, but in Numbers 13 and 14, God had given the promised land, and he told Moses, send some people into the promised land to spy it out to see what I've given you. And they sent 12 people went in, and you know the story. And 12 people came in and went in. And when they came back, some of them, they were carrying clusters of grapes so big that two people had to carry a cluster. And they came back and they said, oh, yeah, it's really good over there, but there's giants over there. There's giants in the land. It's real good, but man, those walls around those cities are real big. They're like fortresses, and they're those giant. We could never overcome that. We could never get in that through that. But two voices said, "Hey, we can do it. God gave it to us. He said it's ours. We can go in there. We can take it because God will see to it. He said it." Two different attitudes, two different results. You know what? The ten voices that said we can't do it, they never did do it. And they never did go into the land. But here's the bad thing. Everybody that believed those 10 voices didn't get it either. See, it wasn't the giants that kept them out of the land. It was the 10 little voices. And I'm going to tell you, there's always going to be little voices that try to tell you you can't. There's always going to be little voices that try to stir you up and try to provoke you to evil and try to make you upset and try to make you mad. And there's always going to be those little voices that try to divert you from what God has for you. You got to stay focused on the right thing. There's plenty of reasons why you can't. But let me tell you two reasons why you can. First off, God said you can. And the second thing is, Jesus came down and paid the price, so you can. So I think I'll just agree with them, where two or more will agree. Now I got three of us agreeing, and bless God, I'm going. I'm going on the trip. How about you? Are you hearing me? Now you need to listen to me. I want to read you something out of Matthew. You need to listen to me. I'm talking to you as a pastor. I'm talking to you because I love you. I'm talking to you because I'm believing for you to go into the land. I'm believing you to take everything God's got for you. If I didn't love you, I love you. Just said that way. Thank you, sir. But let me tell you, even though there's no outside force that can stop you, you can stop yourself. I want to read you something out of Matthew. Now, you know, one time in the Bible, Kenny, God had told a prophet. He said, "You know, I'm going to give you this word. You're going to eat it, and it's going to be sweet in your mouth, but it's going to be bitter in your belly." And this is the maybe reverse of that, because this is going to taste real bitter while you're trying to chew this up. But once you get it digested, it's going to be real sweet. And you're going to see the goodness of God in your life. Matthew 12, verses 33 through 37. Says, either, and I got time, thank you, Lord. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. You brood vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasures of his heart bring forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart brings forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word that men speak, they will give account in the day of judgment. For every word. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Wow. We could talk for about a week on this. We won't. But you know, there's some pretty serious stuff in this little segment here. And let me give you the right setting here. Jesus is mad. You say, well, Jesus doesn't get mad. Yeah, Jesus got mad. He didn't sin, but he got mad. And he's mad here, and who he's mad at is, he's not mad at you, and he's not mad at me. He was mad at the Pharisees because they were attributing the work that God was doing through the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, they were attributing that to the devil and saying he did it. See, in our language, it'd kind of like be when God moves. Let's just say when God moves in a service and something starts happening and people are touching it, something dynamic that God does, and there's somebody that goes, I just don't like that. I just don't think that's right. Enough analogy? Anyway, he's mad at them. But just because he was doing that, but he gives us some keys in here that can help us. He gives us some things in here that can be valuable for us. He gives us some things in here that on heart day to day, we can allow our hearts to be changed. Everybody says, well, God doesn't look on the outside. He just looks on the heart. How many ever heard anybody say that? Come on, how many ever said that or heard somebody say that? Well, then, if that's what he's looking at, I better do some work on my heart. Huh? Let me tell you, he says some pretty serious things here, some pretty revealing things. He says here that a tree's known by its fruit. Everybody say, I'm a tree. And I'm known by my fruit. Now the fruit is what you say. Because that's what he's talking about here, about them speaking. The fruit is what you say. But he says, out of the abundance of your heart, you speak. So he's saying, Hank, out of the abundance of your heart, you speak. Either you speak good or you speak evil, but what's dominating in your heart is what comes out of your mouth. He said, by your words, you'll either be justified or you'll be condemned. Now, that makes me take notice. And I'm going to say this, I wish I could say that I was perfect and I had this all down and that I had this all figured out and I was telling you guys today how to figure it all out. But I'm sorry, it isn't that way. We're all works in progress. But I'll tell you what I am doing, I'm pressing forward. I'm pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling. I'm trying to lay every weight aside. I'm trying to do everything I can to let the Holy Spirit change my heart because I want to be justified. I want the things I say, I want them to justify me and not condemn me. I want all He's got for me and I want to be all He's got for me and I've got to do that or I can't ever lead any of you guys that way. And that's what a pastor's supposed to do. He's not supposed to get up here and tell you how to live right. He's supposed to get up here and live right and help you come along. And that's what you're supposed to do too, to those around you. We're supposed to become a disciple and then make disciples. I think Carolyn said that on the broadcast this morning. But we are called to walk alongside of each other and help each other and not condemn each other. But anyway, I'm a long ways from being an end product, but I'm working towards that end. And when Jesus comes back, I'm still going to be working towards that end. And he'll just probably have to go, okay, that's enough, Hank. You tried as hard as you could, but that's enough. Come on home. You did good. I want him to say, Hank, you did good. Now, I'm going to say I use this portion of Scripture. I don't read this portion of Scripture every day, but there's not a day goes by that this portion of Scripture isn't embedded in me and that I don't use this. Subconsciously and consciously, I use this Scripture every day to draw me closer to Jesus. Because you see, the only thing that's keeping me from not having everything God has for me isn't that I'm waiting on Him to do it. It's that my faith hasn't reached a level to reach out and get it. Because when Jesus said it's finished, it was all finished. So quit waiting on God to heal you. Jesus already healed you. Quit waiting on your finances to come. He already provided them. Just say, okay, now I reach out by faith and I take those things. It's okay. If you didn't get it, I'll be saying it a whole bunch of times. And maybe 3 months down the line, you'll get it. And then maybe 6 months down the line, I'll get it. But somewhere along the trip, we'll get it. Okay? Because we're all works in progress. But not a day goes by that I don't use this thing to examine my heart. To judge myself because I don't want to be judged. To locate myself. I want you to hear this now. I locate it because what I've learned that Jesus is saying here is that I can tell what's in my heart by what comes out of my mouth. And it's not just when you're around me and I talk spiritual. It's when I'm by myself and I'm learning to pay attention to everything I say. And not only what I say, Doc, but how I say it. If I come up to you and go, I love you. You didn't feel much love, did you? See, we can say all kinds of words. But it's out of the abundance of our heart that we'll speak. It's called the law of confession, and I'll talk to you about that another time. But we're just thinking this morning. Don't anybody leave early, because you need to hear what Pastor's saying today, okay? And don't be sitting thinking about all the people that needed to hear it and that aren't here. That's their problem. When you stand before God, it's just going to be you and Jesus. Okay? So, it ain't going to matter if Hank messed it up or if Ron messed it up. I mean, it's not going to matter. It's going to be, yeah, but who do you say I am? Not a day goes by I don't do this, and I learned the law of confession. I listen to myself, and I listen to how I say things. Matter of fact, this week I had to call up several people and apologize, and then they were going, well, what are you apologizing to me for? I didn't. But I took it. I realized that I said something wrong to them, and I thought, man, I don't want to offend them in the least. And I called, and I said, man, I'm sorry. I didn't mean. I was playing and kidding. I didn't mean for it to sound that way. And none of them that I called even knew what I was talking about, but I was going to make sure. Huh? Because you see, my heart's what I got to get fixed. The law of confession. Whatever is in my heart in abundance is destined to come out of my mouth. And it will establish every aspect of my life. You notice how I shifted that, so I wasn't saying you. I wanted to say you, because you need to hear it for you. Okay? But I'm not a teacher scolding you today. I'm a pastor that loves you. And we need to think about what we say and how we say it. James 1:26 says, if anyone among you thinks that he's religious and doesn't bridle his tongue, he deceives his own heart. and that one's religion is in vain. A lot of folks think we're a long way with God. A lot of us think we're a long way with God. And we tear up more with our mouth than we fix. Not a good thing. Not a good thing. I love back up to 19, and I'll just read it real quick. But it says, be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. Because your wrath won't produce righteousness. In other words, watch what you're saying. Be careful what you say. Because you're going to keep saying it and you're going to end up getting mad. And your mad is going to not cause you to be righteous. It's going to cause the other stuff to happen. That didn't ever anybody ever know. Anybody know anybody that ever happened to? I love verses 4 and 5, and you can put them up there, but what it basically says is that a big ship in a storm, said it's a small rudder that steers that ship and guides that ship, and it says that that's the way our tongue is. Our tongue steers and guides our life, the direction we go. And it talks about the tongue can put out little sparks that cause fires, and we say things every day that kills each other, hurts each other, destroys each other. Let me just ask you, what's in your heart? It's easy to tell what's in your heart by what comes out of your mouth. Now, I promise, I'm trying to say this in a way today so you'll never forget it and you'll start paying attention to everything you say. And when you start paying attention to everything you say and how you say it, it isn't a thing where when I get to this spot, we got it fixed. It's a thing where the Holy Spirit continues to take you on a journey with Him, and He keeps taking you deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, and we go past what we say and what we think and what's there. We go into motives, and we go into the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say. So what I'm saying is when you start doing this, you're going to go, this is the way most of my days go. I say something, I go, why did you say that? I'm talking even if I'm by myself. I go, why did you say that? And the first thing that comes is, hold it. If you said that, then there's something in your heart that's not right. And I say, Holy Spirit, I don't want that in my heart. I want you to help me fix it. If I catch myself and go, I don't know, man. God, electric bill went up double this month. I go, whoa, why are you saying that? I'm saying that because there's something in my heart that shouldn't be in there. Faith's not in there. Fear is in there. And Father, I don't know how to fix that. I don't know how to change that, but You do. So Holy Spirit, I give You myself. Help me. That makes sense? And when you start doing this, you're gonna think you're the worst person in the world, huh? If you're really honest. But I'm telling you this so you don't get under condemnation. So you just get the right attitude and say, "Whew, that's in there, and that's been holding me back. That's been keeping me stuck in the mud." So God, I don't know how I'm changing it, and it won't be a few minutes till you'll say something like that again. One day I went through about 10 statements. They were different statements, but they were coming from the same thing that was in my heart. And I went, dadgummit. But I just keep saying, God, help me. Help me change that. Help me change that. You can tell what's in our heart by what we say. And let me say this. Just because you might have a root, you might be rooted. I mean, there might be a root of bitterness in you. There might be a root of unforgiveness in you. I'll talk about that here. But I'm telling you, you might, let me just say this, you're not a bad person. The devil's just tricked you and got you into a place where he can cram those thoughts in your mind and you go for everything he says. And the only thing that'll flush that out is God's Word. Reading what God says about it and changing it. I talked with a lady the other day that's got a physical problem, and I could tell it was bothering her, and I could tell it was eating at her. And I said, I'll tell you, why don't we do this? Why don't we just write down all the scriptures we can find about God healing people and just write all those things down? And every time those thoughts come through our mind that I'm sick or it's going to be cancer or it's going to be this, I said, every time, why don't we just speak back something to that thought of what God says about it? Well, what's coming out of your mouth? I mentioned the poverty mentality gets ingrained into our thinking, and we begin to talk like, man, I just don't know how I'm going to make it. Man, things are just so bad, and I just don't know what's going on. And you know, how do I turn that around? I first make a choice. God, I don't want to do that. I don't want to talk that way. I don't want to think that way. I don't want to be that way. And then we begin to replace those thoughts with thoughts of faith. Thoughts of what God says. Yeah, it does look bad. Yeah, I don't have enough. I can't see enough. But you know what, God? I've given and I've invested in my heavenly bank account. And that's not for when I get to heaven, because I'm not going to need any money there. That's for right now. And so I'm just believing you for a withdrawal right now. You said you'd meet all my needs according to your riches in glory. And bless God, my needs are met. And that's the way I think. And then just go on. It'll come to you. I mentioned a victim's mentality. Everything, if there's anything bad, it's going to happen to me. And you'll be saying that stuff. You say, yeah, after this, got that happened and that. You say, man, I just don't know. Every time I get up, something else knocks me down. And what are you going to do? You're going to keep letting that root hold you captive? You're going to stay stuck in the mud? Or are you going to say, hey, God, I don't want this in my life. Change this. I believe good things happen to me. I believe I walk in your favor. I believe that you're working in my behalf all the time. I believe that all things work out for my good because I love you and I'm going after your purpose in my life. Are you with me? Now I know some of you sitting there pinking your nose. But I'm telling you something that'll pull you someplace with God that you've been believing and waiting for, and it hadn't happened yet, and you've been wondering why it wasn't happening. Let the Holy Spirit take this and work. The same with sickness. We talk about, I walked through a store the other day, and there was two or three ladies standing at the end of the aisle, and one of them was talking about my arthritis and my hip, and yeah, I had to have this knee replaced, and I take this for my blood, and I take this for my blood pressure, and this keeps my blood thin, and I take this, and it keeps my blood thick, and I take this for my rheumatism. I'm sitting there going, I said, whoo, God, I mean, I'm trying to get away. I'm trying to get out of the store. They've about talked me into being sick. And we can make it laugh, but you understand what I'm saying. I'm talking about it doesn't just stop with a few thoughts. And just because you say something, that isn't a big deal. It's the habit of doing it. It's over a period of time, over a continued time. That's why when you start saying the right things, it doesn't happen in 15 minutes. It doesn't happen maybe in a week. But you just start saying the right things, and you just keep doing the right things. And pretty soon, stuff will start turning, and you'll start seeing things different. I've got to talk about this one, because I'm talking about a root of bitterness. We've all been subject to it. We all have it, and I challenge you not to think of somebody you know that has it. I challenge you to think of this message as, how can this help me, Holy Spirit? A root of bitterness, a judgmental spirit, a self-righteous spirit. What are you talking about? I'm just talking about, you know, well, did you see what they did? And you know, evidently I'm saying that I do so much better than them, or I wouldn't notice how bad they did it. And I'm so much better than you, or I wouldn't have noticed how bad you are. a self-righteous spirit. Tastes a little bitter now, doesn't it? Keep chewing it, because it'll be sweet when the Holy Spirit gets through digesting this in your life. A spirit of unforgiveness. You know, a spirit of unforgiveness is a mean spirit. It's a hateful spirit. It's a selfish spirit. And I want you to understand what I'm saying. When I'm talking about forgiveness and unforgiveness, I'm not just talking about, because all these spirits I just mentioned, they all go together. Judgmental spirit, what else did I say? A self-righteous spirit, this root of bitterness, they're all part of an unforgiving spirit. And when I talk about an unforgiving spirit, I'm not talking about just the act of forgiving or not forgiving. Jesus wasn't talking about that either. You know, I'm not just saying, you know, can we get in the habit and say, well, okay, I forgive them. I won't forget it, but I forget them, give them, you know. Well, you probably didn't forgive them, and we'll have a few messages on this down the line. But I want you to understand what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about your act of forgiving or the act of not forgiving. No, it becomes a root inside of you. It becomes your disposition. Now, I'm laboring for God to give me the right words so you understand what I'm saying. It becomes a part of you. It becomes your disposition, your attitude. It's something. It becomes something that's rooted deep down in your heart. And your only hope is for you to identify it. Listen to me. Can you hear me in the back, Hank? Can you hear me over there? You have to identify it. Everybody else already knows it's there. Everybody else already knows you're that way. And every time anybody tries to correct you or tries to tell you something, you get mad at them. See what I'm saying? It's a self-deceiving spirit. Because everybody's got it but me. Oh, Holy Spirit, this is so good. Help me get it. Help me get it. Listen, let me tell you something. It's important that you don't listen to the 10 little voices. But it's also important that you don't become one of them. Because the Bible, Jesus Himself said, if you cause the least one of these to fall, it's better for you that a millstone be tied around your neck and you be thrown in the deep and drowned. And that thing that you rose up and said, and you might not even have thought anything about it, but that family that heard that and they got upset and left the church, and now they're not where God wants them to be, folks, that's serious. And if you got mad and you're not where you're supposed to be, that's serious. I'm sorry, we don't get to pick our church. We don't get to pick our pastor. I believe God gives those things to us as gifts. And I'm sorry, most of us don't act like we're supposed to act, but if you'll have patience with me, I'm working on it. Okay? Oh, listen to me. God said up there, well, you just build the foundation strong. I'll build the building on it. You just build the foundation strong. I'll bring in the pieces. You just talk to the ones that are here today. I'll fill up the rest of the seats. You just care about who I send. And how many of you here today thought about not coming, but you think you're glad you did. You're not for sure yet, but. You see, that spirit, well, I'm okay. I'm a good person. Well, let me tell you something. You are a good person, even if you do act like a jackass. You're a good person. Oh, should I said mule? No, you got the message better. I've been mule-headed, but most of the time I acted like a jackass, John. I don't know, but I'll keep saying that till I see it doesn't bother anybody. No, you are a good person. You just have some stuff in your life that the enemy's been successful of planting some seeds and causing some roots to grow in your heart. But the Holy Spirit says if you'll just recognize they're there and decide to change it, I'll come in and do the work. Just give me a chance. Somebody said the other day, do you know what so-and-so said about you? And I said, you know, it really doesn't matter. They're a good person. That isn't what my flesh wanted to do. My flesh wanted to just go grab them and choke them and spit on them and step on them and, I said, that's okay. Because you see, you're such a good person that when you were at your worst time, your most despicable point, that he gave his son Jesus for you. Didn't say after we got perfect he gave Jesus for us. He said while we're sinners, he gave Jesus for us. If you're a good person, and even if you don't like me, if you hate me, if you just hang around enough, I'll get you to believe in you're a good person. Because you are. God made you. Just because you got crossways with me, that doesn't make you bad. And it shouldn't make me spew out poison and kill somebody else. Are you with me? Well, maybe we just need to pay attention to what we say. Do you want all God's got for you? Do you want all His goodness in your life? Do you? If you don't want it, why do you keep asking Him for it? Well, hey, He's not trying to hold it back. He's trying to give it to us. He says, will you just let me work on you, Hank? And I will position you. I will position you. He says, I will position you. I know right where I'm going to pour it out, and I'll position you. Get on right over there by the creek where the ravens are, and I'm going to send your blessing. Oh, that's a sermon we got to do again. But he says, position yourself, and I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. There's not enough room to receive. I don't position myself. It's not physical position. Some of it might be. Because I know a gentleman that's part of this church and one of our deacons, and he said, hey, God told me if I wanted to grow and if I wanted to be all He wanted me to be, that I needed to come to Central and I needed for you to be my pastor. So it does have something to do with physical. And trust me, you know, if you know me, I'm not trying to build me up. But I'm just trying to point out something. But to position myself means I'll be working on this thing. All you guys that gave a heart today and all you ladies that got one, every time the rest of the day when you think about that, I want you to think about your heart and I want you to say, God, make my heart right with you. Make my heart right with you. I'll end with this story. A lady came, well, this would be my first ending. A lady came, it's been some years back, and she had been, growing up, she had been part of a church, it's a group of churches, and there were such judgmental spirits in there. There were such condemning spirits in there that this lady now as an adult, she didn't even go to church anywhere. And she just said, but I've been watching you on TV. And I think she said she'd been watching for several years. And she said, I've been watching you. And she said, I felt like I could come to church here and you wouldn't condemn me or you wouldn't judge me, that you'd help me be all I can be for God. And I said, hey, I think you came to the right place. And if there's times when I don't seem to be doing that, if you'll remind me, I'll get right back on track. And so this lady came in and received God's goodness and received His blessing. And it wasn't that she was a bad lady, but she had just been condemned and judged and all this. And so after it took some time, but after a time, she began to find God and began to find out how much He loved her and began to find out how much He cared about her. And after several years, and she had experienced this mercy and this grace and this goodness of God. And after a few years, little things, I didn't really pay real close attention, but little things would start coming out of her mouth. She didn't like somebody that was on the platform because they shouldn't do that and be on the platform. When I would do this or I would do something that was a little out of the box and she would say something or think, yeah, well, I don't really think that was right. And it didn't start real big and it didn't start real dramatic. It just started little bitty foxes that spoil the vine. And after a while, you know, then she didn't like think some of the deacons should be deacons because they weren't living right. My whole point is this, is that after a period of time, the devil just pulled her in little by little by little by little. That's how he gets us, folks. That's how he gets us. And she didn't realize it, but those roots of bitterness, those roots, those same things that she had not gone to church for, the reasons, the same things, the same reasons. And then instead of putting out that mercy and that love that God had shown her, she began to put out that bitterness and those little roots. And she got mad and left the church. I don't know if this will be on TV, but if it is, I wish she'd come on back. I just want you to see how it happens. It doesn't happen overnight. And you're the only one it condemns. See, the church is still going. And I mean, we're still going. We're still reaching lives. We're still touching people. But after he's pulled you out, what are you doing? Why are you saying this, Hank? I'm just saying it so maybe it won't happen to you. Because we've got an enemy that hates our guts. Well, how do you change all that? Well, it's easy. I already told you. I'm going to end with reading you something here. How do you change all that? You just say, Lord, I don't want that in my heart. That stuff has a stronghold on me, and I ask you to help me. I'm telling you, it'll ruin a business. It'll ruin a marriage. It'll ruin a church. It'll ruin your life. Okay? And you'll be mad at everybody else in the world and think it's all their fault. And all you have to do is realize it and say, help me, Holy Spirit. Help me. I read this last week and God instructed me to read it again this week. And we're done. We'll have a music here, I guess. But This isn't something, a poem or anything that God gave me. It's a prophecy that He gave somebody else. And I believe it was Jerry Seville. I don't know, but I found it sitting on a table. I told you last week. Somebody gave it to me months ago. And I found it. I just looked down and there it was. I guess I didn't pay attention to it. Maybe it just wasn't time. But God said, speak that for your people. Now, I don't know what you've been saying about me this week, but let me tell you what I've been saying about you. More and more this new year will bring for the glory of God, or for the God of glory is doing a new thing. Favor will manifest as never before. And every door that has been shut will be shut no more. Blessings will flow like the falling rain, and nothing about your life will remain the same. A year of my goodness you'll surely see, and breakthrough after breakthrough, that's how it shall be. So position yourself right now, and it'll happen to you by taking hold of this word and declaring it's true. Refuse to let go. Don't ever give in. For the best years of your life are about to begin. More favor, more goodness, more blessings too. That's what 2016 has in store for you. I didn't read this to you, but since my Bible fell open to this page, I can't believe that. I'll end with the third ending. This is what James said. He said, "With it, talking about our mouth, with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the simulation of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings." My brethren, it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way. Well, did you get the message? If it tastes a little bitter, that's okay. Let the Holy Spirit do something with it. Because I want God's goodness for you. I'm anticipating one of you coming up to me and telling me a story of what God did that is so spectacular that I have to go, "Did that really happen?" It's beginning to happen. Everybody stand. How many here to say, "You know what? I think I'm going to start paying attention to what I say." And if that's you, just tell God now, "God, Holy Spirit, help me start paying attention."